You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Everyone, and a warm welcome back to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Looking ahead to a couple of events this week, we've got action in the OHL Classic on the PGA Tour and the Nedbank Golf Challenge on the European Tour. Sam Norris in this week for Dave Kellner, who's enjoying a well-deserved break again. But Dave Tindall is here in the studio instead. How are you, Dave?
I'm very well, thank you, Sam. Looking
good.
Forward to this one with you. We always seem to enjoy these.
Indeed. Although I don't think I've managed to start a podcast yet without moaning at DK
well,
this season. So
made reference to yet another
yes.
absence. Where does he go?
Who knows? But a couple of interesting events this week, Dave. Obviously, at this time of the year, we don't always get stellar fields, but both events this week have got a smattering of talent in them.
Yeah, the European one, it's the penultimate week of the race to Dubai. It's just a shame that Justin Rose isn't playing, because what looked like a runaway win to be Europe's number one from Tommy Fleetwood, Rose has suddenly closed that gap to kind of loose change, really, in these terms, with those two big wins in China and again last week in Turkey. But he's not here this week, and Fleetwood is. So the danger for Rose is all that hard work. Tommy Fleetwood gets a big check this week, and suddenly it's almost gone again. But I think I read Rose said he's been away from his young family for like weeks and weeks. He can't just play all the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes if you play too much anyway, it kind of defeat, you know, it becomes worse. So he's gone back home, bit of family time, then he'll be in Dubai next week for the big finale.
Yeah, certainly would have added another storyline to this week, that's for sure. We'll start with Justin Rose. As you mentioned, he's now won back-to-back events, obviously not playing this week, winning the Turkish Open last week to go with his victory the week before in China. 18 under par and three birdies in the last four holes. It's been pretty good stuff for the last couple of weeks from Justin Rose.
Yeah, and I think probably the first win probably helped the second win, because he thought, well, you know, I'm going to get my nose in front again. I'm the guy who's in the hottest form this week, because he'd come from eight back in China to win. So
yeah.
He's thinking, I can overcome a much smaller deficit in the final round in Turkey. And once again, when needed to stand up and hit the shots, he did it. It actually came down to the final green. He and Kolsarts both had an 8-footer for birdie. Rose makes, Kolsarts misses, and that's the difference.
Absolutely. I read an interesting piece from Ian Carter as well in the lead up to recording the podcast today, Dave. The last few times I've been on the podcast anyway, it seems to have coincided with a big announcement of a golfer splitting with their caddy. And Ian Carter's piece was just on the relationship that Rose has had with his caddy over a number of years now, and actually made reference to the caddy as well on Sunday after the event. We sort of spoke, well, certainly when I've been on the podcast, quite a bit about those breakups, but this is a relationship that's clearly flourished over the last few years. And Justin Rose made mention of the fact that his caddy gave him the G up, or gave him something that he needed on Sunday going into those final few holes.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about the sort of chemistry and the dynamics, and sometimes it can go on for too long, but Rose seems to be in the heart of it. And I mean, he's won the Olympics, he's won these two events, and yeah, they just get on grain. It does. It certainly adds. It's hard to know how much it adds, but even if it adds one shot at the end, it could be the difference, couldn't it?
Yes, certainly could. Could be really crucial. On the PGA Tour last week, we have a man who's at the other end of his golfing career, if you like. I'm not suggesting that Justin Rose is going to retire anytime soon, but Patrick Cantlay winning his first event on tour, landing the Shriners on the second playoff hole, fending off two of the players to land that event. He's a man that's been hinting at a win for a little while, and is now beginning to look the real deal.
Yeah, basically he was a big star at college, and then he had a bad back which kept him out of things for quite a few years. And as soon as he's come back, he's shown signs what a classy player he is. But to be honest, the market kind of had found him a long time ago. They kept putting him up at these short prices, and we were thinking, well, so, you know, he's good and he'll probably come 10th or something. But until he wins something, mate, can you be backing him at sort of 18s and 16s? Oh, yeah, you can.
Yes,
and he did last week. So it's one of those ones. Had you made him a bit of a project and thought, I'm just going to stick with this guy because he will win, then you would have cashed in Vegas. But I just thought, oh, he's going off short again. So I think we swerved him as a collective on the podcast.
sort of broke through out of college around a similar time to like Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas, who've obviously gone on to wonderful things in the world of golf.
Yeah, it looks like a good crop, doesn't it?
Yes.
From those young lads in their 20s. And yeah, with him, it was just a matter of could he overcome the back issues? And he said he's found a way to kind of practice and train and just and get through. So yeah, hopefully for him, a big, bright career ahead.
Mm. One final point on Cantlay before we move on. The manner of victory was fairly impressive as well, because there were just a couple of occasions where he looked as though there was the potential to perhaps throw it away. The double bogey on the 18th hole on Saturday, a couple of bogeys late in the day on Sunday, and that sort of shows the determination and the grit and the resolve that he has to come back from those moments where you just thought it might be getting away from him here.
Yeah, because they were all sort of falling over themselves at the end on Sunday. Yeah. Nobody wanted to see who wants to win this. And,
yes.
And yeah, he himself made a mistake. But the good thing about that was he kind of got it back together for the playoff and then dug deep and found the win. Because he could have argued Alex Chaker had come in with a 63. He'd done all the good stuff. He was the one who wasn't kicking himself, thinking, oh, if only I hadn't bogeyed the last. He could have maybe gone on, you know, be seen as a favourite. But Cantlay thought, OK, I've messed up the last 2 hours. I've got another chance. I'm going to take it. And he did.
Yeah. On to this week's events, then. We'll start with the European Tour event, the Nedbank Golf Challenge. The European Tour heads to South Africa this week, played at the Gary Player Country Club in Sun City, which plays to a par of 72 and measures in at a whopping 7,981 yards. The odds for this week's event sees Tyrrell Hatton, speaking of back-to-back winners on the European Tour, he's another one, of course, in the last few weeks at 14-1. Brandon Gray, 16-1. Francesco Molinari is 16-1. Louis Oosthuizen in 16s. Matt Fitzpatrick is 16s. Ross Fisher, 18-1 with Tommy Fleetwood. 20-1 for Shane Lowry. Last year's winner, Alex Noren, is 22-1. Also 22-1 about Rafa Cabrera Bello. And it's 25-1 and bigger prices for the rest of them. No surprise to see plenty of South Africans in the lineup. But as I just mentioned, their course specifications, the fact that this does measure in as one of the longer golf courses, just shy of 8,000 yards, is the obvious starting point a big bomber off the tee, or is it not quite as simple as that?
It's not quite as simple as that, because it's also quite important to hit the fairways, which are quite narrow. It's one of those courses where if you're playing good golf, you can score. If you're not, it'll catch you out and spit you out. So, I mean, you can see in the market, what have we got? I think we've got 16 players at 25s or less. Mm. That's very... I know it's a smaller field, but that's kind of saying it is wide open, isn't
yes.
it? And the favourite 14s and three more at 16s. It's hard to sort of find someone to stand out from that lot. And you've got a bit of a mix there. You've got some big hitters, but you've got some other maybe more accurate or iron players like Matt Fitzpatrick. So you can play, you can have different styles winning, but if you can, obviously hitting it long and straight is the ideal.
Yes. Yeah, indeed. Tyrrell Hatton, the 14-1 favourite. Then, as you said, it does look pretty wide open. Do you have any strong fancies in this one?
Yeah, I'm going to go for one of the joint, co-second favourites, Brandon Grace at 16s. He's one of the local players, obviously. And you just look at his form, not only in South Africa, but at the Gary Player Country Club as well. Last 2 years, here third in 2016, then he was fourth in 2015. A slight asterisk next to the fourth, because it was only a 30-man field then. But still, he was fourth, so it was still
yes.
pretty good. And you go through his record in South Africa, you can't find him outside the top 20. He's just there all the time. And lots of, you know, wins. He won the Alfred Dunhill Championship in the Dimension Data Pro, and that's a local event. But other top fours, the South African Open this last year. So he's just someone who loves playing in front of his own fans. It's also the grass type in South Africa. It's called Kikuyu grass.
Okay.
It's a kind of a different, quite an abrasive grass, and not everyone can quite get to grips with it, but he can. Obviously, he grew up playing it.
Mm.
So I think that just nudges him forward. I think the other thing, when you look at the stats of winners in this event, you need to hit your greens in regulation. If you look at his stats in recent events, he was 6th for greens in reg at the HSB Champions and also 3rd for greens in reg at the CJ Cup in South Korea. He came 15th in both those events. So I think he's doing the thing that you need to do really well. You know, he's done it in recent times. Put him back on one of his favourite courses in front of those home fans in very, very hot. Have you seen the weather forecast? Is absurd this week.
Right,
I think it's 100 today.
Blimey.
I think it does drop a little bit for the tournament. Still sort of pushing 90-odd. So I think he's got everything. He's got the heat and the, you know, the grass type, coming in with good form, hitting his irons well. I think all those little bits, put them together, all these little marginal gains, if you like, are enough to get me in at 16-1 each way.
Okay. At 16-1 for Brandon Grace, then one of the South African contingent this week. Is he a sole bet in the event, Dave?
I'm probably just going to throw one more and have a go on Peter Uihlein, the American. Obviously, you think, oh, American, how many times has he played in South Africa? Even though we know that he's been playing on the European Tour a number of times. Because some of the names, they kind of miss that part of the schedule when the tour goes to South Africa. So they don't play there as much as you think. But Uihlein's actually taken the time to play in events there. And he's done really well. He was 10th in this tournament the only time he did play it in 2013. Then this year he went there for the Tshwane Open, I think I've said that right, and came fourth, and also played in the South African Open at the start of the year and was seventh. So he clearly gets on well in the country. He's got some nice current form as well. 10th at the CIMB Classic, 5th at the HSB in China, which was a World Golf Championship event, and then 14th in the Turkish Airlines Open last week. Lots and lots of good rounds from Uihlein. So that current form allied to his play in South Africa, a little bit short maybe, but I'm willing to play him at 25s. Just have an each way tickle on him, I think.
Okay. Peter Uihlein goes in then at 25-1. Do remember we're betting a fifth of the odds, place 1-6 on this event in South Africa. Anyone that came close to being a bet, Dave, or anyone you don't particularly want to win? I know you like to torture yourselves on this podcast by putting up someone that you don't want to win.
Yeah, I wasn't that close to putting up Tommy Fleetwood just because maybe he's just not at his peak, whereas Rose is coming on strong. Yeah. It's like Fleetwood maybe just taking a slight backward step.
Yes.
But then, so I'm not going to back him, but then if he goes and wins, you could argue, well, that was quite obvious because he is the number one player this year. Maybe he's responding to Rose.
Yes.
Rose's sort of clattering of hoofs behind him. So it would be very obvious if he did win, I guess.
It's a player that we could be saying at the end of this week, 18-1 was...
Yeah, why wasn't he favourite sort of thing?
There he was, yeah. Right in front of us. Okay, fair enough. That's the Nedbank Golf Challenge taken care of. We've gone to the PGA Tour this week then, and it is the OHL Classic at Mayakoba in Mexico. The betting is headed by Ricky Fowler at 9-1. Pat Perez is 12-1, last year's winner. Chesson Hadley, 20-1. Gary Woodland, 20-1. Patrick Reed is 20-1. 25-1 and bigger prices for the rest of them. Mentioned Pat Perez, who won the event last year. Other previous winners in this year's lineup include Harris English and Graham McDowell and Charlie Hoffman. It's played just to the south of Cancun at the El Camaleon golf course, which measures in at 6,987 yards and plays to a par of 71. Fancies here, Dave. It's easy to see why Ricky Fowler's a single-figure price. He's the real star name in the field, if you like.
Yeah, he does stand out, doesn't he? He's kind of one superstar and the rest are kind of just your sort of standard weekly players. I don't really fancy him, though, at nines, I have to say. It's his first time at the course and I'm not entirely sure that it's going to suit him that much. He won't be able to just blast driver all the time. It's quite strategic and a slight surprise why he's playing there. Maybe just fancies a holiday in Cancun.
That was just about to be my question to you, actually. Why is he turned up for this event? Yeah. Of course, he's never played before. The real big boys aren't there, so obviously the purse on offer isn't ginormous.
Who knows? Sometimes they make a sort of promise earlier in the year or something, and maybe just wants to keep ticking over it towards the end of the year. Maybe sometimes it's other players saying, oh, Ricky, you'd like it down here. But we'll see. But I'm not liking him at nines particularly.
As you say, not a terrible place for a holiday, though.
No, exactly. Yeah.
I'm sure it's more than recreational. Yes. Pat Perez is second in the betting then at 12-1. Obviously won the event last year, but for a player of his sort of standing, is that a bit of a short price?
Yeah, it's kind of like
you wouldn't really see that figure by his name too often, would you?
You know, your sort of brain gets used to seeing them at similar prices and then you see him at 12s and it's like, does not compute.
Indeed.
So yes, he's the defending champion, yes, he won recently, but 12s, nah, it's
20-1 bar that duo. Where do you look for in terms of a bet here, Dave?
Well, I'm going to go for another young player. We saw Patrick Cantlay win in Vegas, so I'm going to go for another young guy, Ollie Schneiderjans at 40s. Okay. I don't want to go too short this week because it can be a tricky one to pick, but I think 40s is enough of a price. And I really like Schneiderjans. He's So he's a young player who's been tipped for big things, and we saw him show up well in majors, so I think he's got a lot of game. Has some nice form coming in, three top 25s in his last three starts, 17th at the Safeway, 23rd at the CIMB, and 19th at the CJ Cup. Now, that CMB Classic is played on... Really going into the grass types this week, Sam.
It's like doing a podcast with Alan Titchmarsh.
It is in many ways, yes. It's a grass type called, I can never say right, Paspalum or something. I think it's called that. It's kind of like a seaside grass. They're all different, and they all, some players like the, you know, can putt well on them, others can't. And that CIMB was played on that, and he putted really well that week. So I'm taking a bit of a guess that he'll like it this week too. There's a slight obvious reason not to back him because he played this event last year and shot just terrible, 74, 77. But I had a look back at his form at the time and he was totally out of form. Right. So I can sort of bypass that. I can ignore that. I'm much more interested in his recent play. And I'm really taken by the good form he showed this year as well. He's was runner-up in the Wyndham Championship and that was sort of late-ish August, so not that long ago. Shot a final round 64, so under the gun he played great. He also played really well at the Heritage at Hilton Head. And you look at a lot of the form, and it's the same guys who do well at Hilton Head as they do in this course, El Chameleon.
Right, okay.
So you see why they're kind of shorter, fiddly tracks where you need to sort of bit more sort of brawn, no, a bit more brain than brawn.
Brain rather than brawn, yeah.
Yeah. So I think he like, even though sometimes you think, oh, young player will just enjoy like thrashing it off the tee and there'll be no subtlety to his game. I think he plays well on these sort of courses. So even though he didn't last year, I think he will this time. So I'm going to go in at 40s.
40-1 for Olli Schneider-Jens. Was there anyone else in the field that caught your eye, Dave?
I did like Aniban Lahiri, but we have ducked him, I have to say, at 25s. Yeah, so I'll bypass him. But I will go and have a second bet on 50-1. Kevin Streelman.
Yep.
He's a guy who's won a couple of times before. And because this isn't the course type of course that you get every week on the PGA Tour, I think it's worth giving perhaps extra cachet to course form. Because I think if you've done it here once, I think you can go in again. And Streelman, he's got a fourth and a third in his last three goes at this course. So clearly a big fan of it. And look at some of his round scores. When he was fourth last year, 65, 73, 64, 65. So you can see what day it all went wrong for him. But yes, the other 3 days, he was fantastic. Also shot 64 when he was third in back in 2009. And he's a guy who just makes a ton of birdies. He once won an event by birdieing the last seven holes. I mean, that's astonishing, isn't it? So once he gets hot, he can stay hot. And again, he's got some nice form. 13th at the Safeway, 10th at the Southern Farm. So he's played in some of these early season events, so he's kept the engine running. He's not just packed up the clubs for the year. So I think he can come in there on a course he really likes and do some damage. I think 50-1 is a pretty decent price.
Okay. Hoping they can avoid a bit of a meltdown on the Friday, as has slightly been. Well, not a meltdown, that's harsh to say, but certainly Friday has been his weakest day at the course.
Yeah, although the year before he shot 67, right. So hopefully that was a one-off where, I can't recall it, maybe it was particularly windy or something, but... When I googled Streelman OHL Classic, there's a picture of him riding a bike on the course. So maybe he just totally enjoys this week. Yeah. He just chills out and enjoys everything.
Either that, or he just shanked his ball so far that he couldn't even walk to it.
Hopefully not. No, but hopefully didn't expect to see him on a bike.
Streelman at 50-1. Then anybody else who came close to making the cut, Dave, or who would perhaps gall you if they were to win this week?
Yeah, Zach Johnson, it's his sort of track, sort of small by the sea, but can be windy. I think he would go well. Chesson Hadley's been up there for the last sort of God knows how many weeks and almost got into a playoff last week, so he's 20-1. Maybe I'm just thinking he can't keep going at that pace and he will take a backward step at some point. Gary Woodland's played well here before, but there's no one I'd hugely regret, to be honest. If Fowler wins at nines, I'd have to just say, well, I wasn't anywhere near close to backing him. So, no regrets.
Okay. Good way to live your life, Dave. Schneider-Jens at 40-1 and Streelman at 50-1. We are a fifth of the odds place, one through until six on this event as well. Just time to recap your selections then, please, Dave, and your staking strategies this week.
Yeah, so in Europe, I'm going to go a point and a half each way on Brandon Grace at 16s. I'll go a point each way on Peter Ulan at 25s. And then in America, I'll go a point each way on both my selections. So Ollie Schneidian's at 40s and Kevin Streelman at 50s.
Good stuff, Dave. Check out all the betting on the William Hill website ahead of the two golf events this week, which we're betting a fifth of the odds each way, place one through until six. Dave, informative as ever, and enjoy the golf this week, and best of luck.
Yeah, thank you, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.